They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
They own you.
I was tired as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
From XPR, Expat Progressive Radio, it's time for the Bills Show. And now, here are the Bills.
This was the US President's time to make a point, and it was that 2014 is the year of action. Walking into the House of Representatives, he made clear his independence from Congress.
And I'm eager to work with all of you. But America does not stand still, and neither will I. So wherever and whenever I can take steps without legislation to expand opportunity for more American families, that's what I'm going to do.
A move unlikely to soften relations between the Democratic president and Republicans. This State of the Union address was mainly about domestic economic inequality.
The federal minimum wage is worth about 20% less than it was when Ronald Reagan first stood here. And Tom Harkin and George Miller have a bill to fix that by lifting the minimum wage to $10.10. It's easy to remember, 10-10. Say yes. Give America a raise. This Congress needs to restore the unemployment insurance you just let expire for 1.6 million people. Give every woman the opportunity she deserves, because I believe when women succeed, America succeeds. I intend to keep trying, with or without Congress, to help stop more tragedies from visiting innocent Americans in our movie theaters and our shopping malls or schools like Sandy Hook.
On foreign issues, the president said he would veto any bill containing more sanctions against Iran, and said 2014 was the year the controversial Guantanamo Bay prison would close.
Because we counter terrorism not just through intelligence and military actions, but by remaining true to our constitutional ideals and setting an example for the rest of the world.
Obama's rhetoric was high-flying, and he promised that U.S. troops would be out of Afghanistan by the end of the year. For him, 2014 may be labeled the year of action, but will his actions speak louder than words?
And welcome, folks, to the Bills Show. Here we are back in Australia, back in the saddle again, and back with my dear friend, Bill. How are you, Bill?
Well, I'm very well. I must say that I was really worried about you while you were in the U.S.
Freezing my ass off.
You were in the, what was the term?
I think it was the polar vortex.
That's it, the
polar vortex. I was dead set inside the polar vortex.
Well, you were in Massachusetts. You were on the East Coast.
Yeah, my penis was this big. You know, I mean, it's just completely shrunk. Everything shrunk. And I went around at random to people and said, why the fuck do you live here? What could you possibly be thinking? Yes.
So it's always fun to go back home.
Yeah, it is. It's fun to go. I missed you.
Is all I would say is that while all this snowstorm stuff was going on, you know what was going through my head?
What? State of the Union that I just played?
I love that I'm in Australia. I'm at the beach. Basically, you know, moderate temperatures year-round.
Okay, all right.
No snow. Okay, so look,
but listen,
I just listened to that.
Now, evidently, you told me that you didn't actually listen to the State of the Union. Is there any reason why?
Well, by reading transcripts, I'm able to better understand what was really said. And the problem is every time I listen to one of Obama's speeches,
yeah,
I come away with a hope that I know is false.
I kind of want to date him every time he uses his tongue better than a $20 whore. I swear to God. Well, but you know something? I'm really evidently, and that's my favorite word, as we know, for this broadcast. Evidently, Barack says, okay, Congress, fuck you. I'm going to do some stuff on my own.
Well,
and I think that's not a bad idea, actually, especially regarding the minimum wage.
I would agree. I would love to see him take some actions on his own. My issues with Obama are that I'm now at the point of trust, as long as I can verify. And as far as verifying goes, I look at the number of things that he said and the number of things that were done, and I just, no, not quite get it, you know?
So you're not getting it. I'm sorry to hear that, by the way.
Look, the issue for me with Obama is that he says things so nicely when he speaks. And I'm actually, yeah. When I look at the leadership of America now compared to when George Bush was president, I happily admit that I smile. I feel great when I know that Obama's going out to represent us in the world.
Oh, God. You don't know how much better it is when I went back home to go through Los Angeles and not see that grinning schmuck and that half-bald dickhead staring back at me when I stepped on the American tree. You know, they have pictures of the President of the United States.
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, Bush and Cheney opposite each other for the last, 8 years have been just depressing as hell.
Well, so in order to react to the State of the Union speech, what I want to say is that let's see what Obama does.
Well, he's already made it mandatory that if you have a government contract, you got people working on a government contract, we have billions of dollars in government contracts out there, you got to pay them at least $10.10 an hour. These are things that he's doing that I actually do quite respect, especially when it comes to championing the expansion of the unemployment benefits for those people who got cut off by a just draconian Republican Congress. I couldn't believe they did that. And talking a little bit about, continuing to work on gun control. And I'm so glad that he mentioned it again.
I'm glad that he talks about these things, but what's really going to matter is action. Since Obama's been in office, he told everybody when he was running for office that if he did anything, he should do a public option.
That was not going to happen, Bill.
Well, look.
Not with that Congress. It was just politically impossible for him to get that through.
Listen, I think that that's bullshit. This was this healthcare deal, the reason the GOP still gets to attack on this time and time and time again is they know it really wasn't a good deal. They were involved in pushing it through to make sure it wouldn't be a good deal, to make sure that it wouldn't work.
What
because
is also,
they want government not to work.
Well, I don't think that you're really realistic actually about the numbers on what they would need to pass a single payer thing. And I think they made the calculation that there was just no way that was going to happen. When I'm away from America and I'm not there, you know something? I agree with you. When I get there and I sit there and I look at the way the media is and I look at the way people are talking, it's amazing how many people are actually still violently against Obamacare in America. I had two or three conversations with just people, and they would sit there and they just said, no, it's going to be terrible. It's disastrous. It's like, have you got it? No. It's like some sort of mass hypnosis that the GOP and anybody from the conservative end of politics has.
Look, there's no.
You're not going to get single payer with that kind of prejudice.
Look,
listen to those people.
What I would say to you is that you're now 4.5 years into an Obama presidency.
Yeah.
I absolutely abhor and detest the way the conservatives have played this. I look now at the places where Obamacare doesn't work, the cities that are problematic in the United States with unemployment, with bad deals for poor people, and they're almost exclusively in the South.
Mm.
And
they're red states.
I absolutely.
It's just amazing to me.
Basically, I still feel as if we're still fighting the Civil War.
I don't think it has ended at all. Now, listen, one of the things.
But keeping on Obama about this.
Yeah.
Now, the thing of it is, Obama has some very, very important issues in front of him.
Mm.
We have to admit that Obama, as the leader of the United States, is trying to represent us, and I think he's probably trying as best he can in the current system that's very broken.
Mm-hmm.
There are things about him that I really like. I love his family. I really get upset when people attack Michelle. In my estimation, this is a woman of class.
Yeah, she's class. You're not going to find Obama stepping out. You know, really seriously. You know, there's no reason to. The, you know, what those, do you want out of life? She's gorgeous, kids, smart. You know?
Those kids.
And the kids are great, too.
You know, I'm actually proud to see this first family represent America. So when I listen to the racist spiel that comes from all of these people in the GOP, I mean, you know, Lindsey Graham's response, what Obama's doing on Iran is going to be, the world's about to blow up.
Oh, well, Lindsey Graham. Oh, Lindsey Graham. We love the Lindsey Graham. Fuck Lindsey Graham. I remember that.
Where's the swear jar?
Swear jar right there. But because I remember when Michelle was trying to, Michelle was basically delivering the idea that everybody should eat well. And eat more vegetables.
Eat healthily, yeah.
Eat healthy. Eat more vegetables. Fox News came out and called it North Korean-style indoctrination. It's sort of like this nice woman telling you to eat your veggies. I mean, suddenly Fox News, there's just... And that's the thing when I talk about it, and you're very hard on Obama on the broadcast, and I think I'm a lot easier on him. And when
Well, no shit.
But when I went over there, man... I was sitting there going, man, if I was Obama, I would, like, 4 years ago, I would have said, you don't want fucking medical insurance, fine, fucking die, I don't give a shit. You know, I mean, I was really seriously, I just let you burn, fuck it. You know, I'll be like Bush, I'll champion things we want, you know, like wars and shit. You know, it takes a lot of guts for him to actually spend the political capital with these absolute morons you meet. My God, they have been brainwashed to the point of a gibbering idiot.
Well,
we've been brainwashed.
I agree with you. I've talked to you about this time after time after time, and you say, well, no, we're all collectively guilty because we let all those rich people that use their psychiatrists and psychologists to figure out how to manipulate the fuck out of us. Now that that's happened, we also have rigged the system to where only the big corporates win.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't a way that a normal person... You just did this trip. You went to Washington, D.C.
Toured the White House. It was great.
I understand Elizabeth Warren's office helped you with
that? Liz Warren's office helped us get in. Look, it was great.
All good.
I love Liz. I want to... You know, I'm married, but she's been... I find her very, very attractive. Well, I like smart women.
You know, it's really funny because if I look back on my leanings politically, the way I see Liz Warren is I see Liz Warren as pretty much of a centrist Republican candidate from 15
from
years
our
ago.
Time. Yeah, from our time.
15
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah.
And I look at her and I see that if we, when it comes to the next presidential run, and I can't believe that this is such a big story in America already.
What?
Who's going to run in 2016?
Well, Hillary.
Well, duh. But,
I mean, sorry.
But,
yeah, well, Hillary.
But what I've got to say is...
And you voted for Hillary, didn't you?
I did.
First in the primaries, you voted for Hillary.
Primaries.
So you'd be happy now that she's running again.
No.
You'd think that, wouldn't you? I would think that. You changed a bit, though.
What I've changed on is that I don't believe...
I'm building a cabin in the woods with a... With a solar powered,
with no internet,
with
no
internet,
phone.
Yeah, it's
like I'm not gonna be part of our society.
And you're gonna be in the woods.
Look, I just, you know, gonna have this little shack, and I'm not gonna connect with the world. No, look, this is all about the fact,
yes,
that I actually think of today's modern GOP as a group of bullies. And
I view them as terrorists.
Well,
I think they're terrorists.
But the issue is, from a strategic point of view, I think they're closer to bullies.
Yeah.
Because we don't have to kill them. We don't have to throw them in jail. We just have to stand up to them and not accept their bullshit anymore.
Well, speaking of bullshit that that gets laid around by GOPs, of course, the State of the Union happened, and then, of course, there was the State of the Union response. And I'll tell you
which
something.
Which you got to admit.
Oh.
Multi-pronged?
Kathy McMorris, I don't know, she's a congresswoman from
I don't know, some Midwestern state. I have no freaking idea. He's like one of the few women that they could chatter up to get there. Kathy McMorris has actually, this is her speech, and I've edited it down a bit, but her speech is the biggest bunch of corn-fried, deep-fried corn pone bullshit.
Hey, wait a minute.
That I have
Aren't
heard.
You coming to judgment a little bit before everybody's heard it? Can we let everybody hear it?
Let's listen to the opening of Kathy's speech. You know what I find hard to believe? Just to preface it, I find hard to believe that an Americans really buy this shit anymore. This is Kathy McMorris.
Okay.
And her response to the State of the Union address.
Tonight, we honor America, a nation that has witnessed the greatest rise of freedom and opportunity our world has ever seen. A nation where we are not defined by our limits, but by our potential. And a nation where a girl who worked at the McDonald's drive-thru to help pay for college can be with you from the United States Capitol. We, the people, have been the foundation of America since her earliest days. People from all walks of life and from all corners of the world. People who come to America because here, no challenge is too great and no dream too big. That's the genius of America. Tonight, the president made more promises that sound good, but won't actually solve the problems facing Americans. So tonight, I'd like to share a more hopeful Republican vision, one that empowers you, not the government. It's one that champions free markets and trusts people to make their own decisions, not a government that decides for you. It helps working families rise above the limits of poverty and protects our most vulnerable. And it's one where Washington plays by the same rules that you do. It's a vision that is fair and offers the promise of a better future for every American.
You have to be kidding me.
She's just a scrapping little girl. I'll tell you, she's a scrapping little girl. I love her.
Listen, I love
you. You know what I love? I love is the preamble of every Republican speech is like, America's so fucking awesome. We're so fucking awesome at everything.
Well, actually, I find it interesting that she seemed to be doing her best to sound as positive and as good as Obama sounds.
Well, no, she does, but is that really gentrified, you know, kind of like a Republican horseshit? Go leaning back on that flag waving
shit at
the beginning.
Let the marketplace solve the thing of it is, it's so interesting about this is that, as I said before, you know, I cannot see the GOP anymore in anything but a racist light.
Mm.
I recently saw a film called 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
incredible.
You know,
what does that have to do with Kathy McMorris?
Well, it has a lot to do with what's going
on
in America.
Go.
Okay. Basically, if you look at the GOP architecture of what America has become, because, you know, we've mostly had GOP presidents. Even, you know, I find it amazing how people talk about Clinton now, because you and I both respect and like Bill Clinton still a lot.
Yeah.
You know, okay, yes, he got caught getting a blowjob.
Got a blowjob.
Okay.
Yeah, really.
I'm sure that's never happened in either Republican.
Well, no, he didn't invade Cambodia. You know, he didn't cause, you know, a conflagration. He didn't get us into a war that, you know, the Pentagon told them that they couldn't win. He didn't, like, do that. He got a blowjob.
You know, that. It just boils down to the fact that all of these people on the GOP side call Obama a liar, call him a socialist. They say all these things to denigrate the person. But the actuality is that Obama has governed as a Republican almost.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, when I listen to Kathy McMorris, I'm listening to, really, I tell you, there is that rock-hard Republican that the people who come when they wave that flag. You know, that absolute Republican rarefied horseshit that is so detrimental. It's that ultra-patriotism. The fact that you are unprepared to see how America could be improved by adopting some things from other countries that do have freedom, that actually do have functioning healthcare systems. You know, we're the best, we're the best, we're the best. And the simple fact of the matter is people like Kathy McMorris are very happy to say it rather than improve. Because they have to hold up their religion.
I'll give an example. You know, I told you that I read transcripts of this stuff. One of the things that she says in her speech is she talks about how Republicans are for women. But her last four votes, that could do something to protect women's rights, she voted against women's rights every time. Now, I call that fucking hypocrisy, but there's another term for it.
What is it?
See,
you got the bullshit button.
I do.
You did. You needed for this. Here, Lynn,
I would like you to
listen to a little bit more of Kathy McMorris that I prepared earlier. Well,
before we go any further, I just want to point out some of the things that the GOP has brought that she's talking about providing a fairer America. Well, who is it that brought in a two-tiered justice system? If you're black in America, or if you're of color in America, you're not going to get the same justice as if you're white and you're from a good neighborhood or went to a good school.
Well, Kathy is.
Okay, I understand.
I don't think I've encountered anybody more white. She is the whitest person
alive. I'm going to talk a little bit later about predatory lending and things. But these are systems that the Republicans have put in place. I would think, Bill, you were just there.
Yes, I was.
And I don't understand how more Americans aren't seeing this. When I read the polling, it seems that Americans are seeing through this shit.
Kathy isn't.
I realize.
And this is what I was talking about. When you talk to the people that, you know, and you know something? I'll bet Kathy, if you met her, she'd be just fine. She'd be great. But there is this blindness that they have. I want to play a little bit more of
Okay, let's of hear
Kathy
a little bit more of
and
her.
See if you can detect.
Although, tell me, is it going to be any more?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Like, in fact, this is the depths of horseshit that Kathy went to. Here is the little bit more.
If you would have told me as a little girl that I would one day put my hand on the Bible and be sworn in as a 200th woman to serve in the House of Representatives, I wouldn't have thought it possible. I grew up working on my family's orchard and fruit stand in Kettle Falls, a small town in eastern Washington, getting up before dawn with my brother to pick apples. My dad drove a school bus, and my mom worked as a part-time bookkeeper. They taught me to work hard, help others, and always, always dream for more. So when I showed my 4-H animals at the county fair, my parents used to say to me, "Kathy, you need to save this money so you can go to college one day." And so I did. I saved, I worked hard, and I became the first in my family to graduate from college. The chance to go from my Washington to this one was unexpected. I came to Congress to help empower people, not politicians, to grow the working middle class, not the government, and to ensure that everyone in this country can find a job. Because a job is so much more than a paycheck. It gives us purpose, dignity, and the foundation to build a future. I was single when I was elected, but it wasn't long before I met Brian, a retired...
Do you think that I'm infantile?
Well, I'll say a couple things. Yes, I think the fart jokes were just slightly overdone there.
The bullshit. The 4-H Club. When I was tending to my cows at the 4-H Club and working in the pastures, I'll tell you something. Gosh darn it, ain't America grand.
Look, but all that may be true. I just, my concern of her coming from a Washington farming family is that, you know, Washington is one of the states that has just approved marijuana usage. It's pretty obvious she was friggin' high.
No, she's working on the farm, Bill. She's working on the farm.
Yeah, but sitting on a sack of seeds.
You know what's absolutely incredible is that later on in the broadcast, she talks about Bet. Now, Bet is evidently this woman in, I think it's Toledo, Ohio, who complained the fact that she couldn't get Obamacare for less than, you know, close to $1,000. Well, the local
news. So how much was she paying before?
Well, she was paying $565. She was upset because it went up to about, you know, $780 or $790. And
That's a month. That's a
series. Yeah, but McMorris said, this is proof that it doesn't work. It, Obamacare doesn't work. And the truth was, is that the local newspaper asked the woman if she had actually gone on the Obamacare website to compare other plans.
What was the response?
No. Because she won't go on that socialist Obamacare website.
So wait a minute. Let me get this straight.
I'm saying, yes.
This woman bitched about the fact that her health care premiums went up.
Obamacare doesn't work without actually accessing Obamacare. You know, I fucking love it.
Hold on a second.
There you go. Absolutely. You know.
Look, that shit, you know, the thing of it is, it's really fun to poke fun at somebody like this because they're just so obviously full of crap. But what's
interesting, she's lying. She was fed that by an operative. You know, I'll tell you, Kathy McMorris is probably a very nice, gosh darn it, fantastic, but I'll tell you something. I would rather have needles stuck in my eyes than spend a week in that house.
Oh, I don't think that's fair at all.
Oh my God!
First of all, let's put.
This, oh God!
Can we please put this in perspective? And I don't think it's fair for you to be picking on this poor woman because she was only 25% of the Republican response here. They're tag teaming Obama because none of them can handle it.
Well, yeah, like Ron Paul, who the one. Recently came out with, like, screw everybody at Christmas. You know, it's like,
well, you don't want to give them unemployment benefits
in Christmas time.
We don't want to let that go for more than the 26 weeks, because if we go to the 99 weeks, these people are going to lose their incentive to work.
But what I can't understand is Obama's popularity is so low. You know what? If you don't know that you are getting fucked by the Republicans, your ass is really loose by now, because quite frankly, the only people that are really screwing the American people who have their heart in it, like going up to Congress and cutting off food stamps and giving those farm subsidies to all their sweetly new multinational corporation farm guys, and at the same time cutting the hell out of food stamps and then cutting people off of unemployment benefits at fucking Christmas, how much fucked does the American people have to be before they turn around and realize who that dick belongs to?
Well, as all I know, Bill, is that since we've been doing this show, we've talked about the way people are manipulated by advertisers and how the advertising and public relations industry has learned how to manipulate the American consumer society to get them to do almost whatever they want. Remember Bush's response to the first part of the Iraq War was, ladies and gentlemen, just go out and spend some money. Buy some stuff.
Go buy shit. Yeah, I'll feel better if you buy shit. Go ahead and buy some shit.
You know, this consumer society that we've developed is broken. Yeah. Almost anybody can see it. We're shipping food all over the world, paying a lot of shipping costs because we've allowed this to be financialized. And, you know, you talk about Obama in his speech, and these people criticized Obama in his speech. But the thing that's happening to America, it hasn't mattered whether we've had Republican presidents.
Yes, it does.
Or Democratic presidents. No, stop. You didn't even let me get out what I was going to say.
We're just going to have to go fisticuffs on this issue. Matter that Obama's there and not Mitt Romney.
No,
I'll slap you.
I think it's helpful that Obama is there.
Helpful.
Or Mitt Romney.
We're not in two wars because Obama's there.
For the last 35 years, from Reagan on, from 1980 on, we've had nothing but primarily corporatist American political scenario. Whether Democrats were in or whether Republicans were in, we've been taking more and more of our civil rights away. We've been not keeping our regulations up to snuff. It took Obama until just very recently to even move the CAFE standards up, even though we were in
I don't think everybody out there knows what the CAFE standards are. Hey, listen.
What are the CAFE standards?
What are they?
Huh? The CAFE standards are the regulations on making producers of cars produce better and better gas mileage.
Yes.
We had been doing that
consistently.
No, we have not been doing that consistently ever since. I'll look it up for you.
Okay, all right. Listen, I want to go on to our next segment, but
The other three Republicans?
Yeah,
to listen to.
Well, we got actually another thing that happened while I was away in America. You know what it was?
What?
Chris Christie.
Oh, look, that's...
I love Chris Christie. He's the gift that keeps on giving. And we're going to be back with a little on Chris Christie in just 1 minute.
It's these bailouts that represent the abandonment of capitalism.
Blowing the tops off mountains!
If you're out of a job, I guess you're a bum. They don't think that maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe it was your fault, Orrin Hatch.
In healthcare, the lie that we should just allow the industry to run in a free market mode, the invisible hand of the market's going to take care of itself, nothing is farther from the truth.
This is Obama's my pet goat moment.
There's a Bush up for that.
Isn't this the end of democracy as we know it if 51 senators can pass something against the will of the majority 49?
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media, edited, organized, and mixed, only at bestoftheleft.com.
Challenges here are extraordinary. I was up in Middletown before I came here, and I met a little girl named Ginger, who's 9 years old, and she lost her home. Her home is gone. And, you know, I've hugged a lot of crying adults over the last week. And I'm okay with that. I just have a harder time dealing with crying children. Children who look scared. And she and her mom were there, and her dad, and this poor little girl just is scared. And so it reminded me that for kids across New Jersey, I want to promise you there's nothing to be scared of. The adults are here and we're in charge. And we're going to make sure, first and foremost, we keep you safe. And I know for the ones that are a little bit older, it's not cool to act scared even when you are scared. But even if you're just scared on the inside, and you're not going to show it on the outside, believe me, the adults here in your government and in your communities care first and foremost about you and keeping you safe, getting you back to school, making sure you feel like you're taken care of. And so let yourself be taken care of by the adults in your community. We're going to be there for you. And there's no reason to avoid crying. It's a sad situation. And a lot of people have lost a lot. And sorrow is part of what we're doing here. But we can't allow that sorrow to replace our resilience as a state. We're a tough group of people. Yeah. We will rebuild. We will get better after all this. And we will be even tougher. And man, America couldn't take New Jersey toughness before this. After this, we're going to be hell on wheels, everybody.
Yes, the inspiring voice of the elephant in the room, Chris Christie. Evidently, what's interesting is that while he was spouting off all that nonsense about, you know, don't you worry, let the adults handle things. Evidently, my favorite word, Chris Christie was withholding Sandy money from Hoboken, New Jersey, until the mayor of Hoboken decided to play ball and okay a Rockefeller Brothers contract on the north side of Jersey, baby. So, what's her name? Little Sophia or Monica or whoever that bullshit was that he ladled out there. Let's just hope you didn't live in the north side of New Jersey, because if you are, fuck you.
Well, look,
Chris Christie.
You know, I talked earlier about bullies and what stories keep coming out about Christie and bullying is just over and over and over again. And I actually think his career is over, but I think he'll be in at least the next three or four shows.
Oh, no, he has to be. But the thing was is that, you know, I love it when we call it, you know, when this show calls it. And we did a show called Have You Got Christie Love or something like that about, you know, 3-4 weeks before this scandal really broke on the bridge thing where he was basically, you know, he was basically so malignantly spiteful against people in, I forget the suburb.
Fort Lee.
Yeah. That he closed down and made everybody late. I mean, this was his guys. Let me tell you what Chris Christie is. Chris Christie is works very well as a Republican. He works very well. He's a damn good Republican. Because you know what he is? He's a thug. He's a thug. And we did a story about four or five weeks ago in which we talked in extensive about if you like Chris Christie, you're not talking about his view on gay rights. You're not talking about the way he has absolutely thugged teacher unions in his state.
Okay, I've got to call you on this.
Go ahead.
Because this is an important issue right now.
Go ahead.
Chris Christie is not a thug. Okay. He's a bully. He's an asshole.
Right, yeah.
Okay. But when I think
about
thugs, yeah. I think about Putin.
Yeah, Putin is a thug.
I think about people that are dictators, that kill their people, that make sure there isn't a real democracy.
No, in the right government, I'm telling you, Chris Christie would be one of those guys. He'd be fine.
You're probably right. Yeah. But look, what Christie does is he inconveniences thousands of people on a bridge. He doesn't go out and kill his opponents, or at least we haven't heard about that yet. When he gets to that level, I'm fine with him using
Fat Tony out there in the Glades going, take the cannolis. You know what I mean? Wait, you think that's a for Christie?
Well, we are talking about New Jersey. Aren't we? I mean...
Yeah, we are.
Okay?
We are talking about New Jersey.
Can I ask you a question? When they chose to... When I believe it was HBO chose to make a show and show...
Yes.
What a crime family would be like, where did they set that?
I think they set it in New Jersey... And I got this for you. You like that?
Yeah, I do.
You listening to that? Yeah, I got it. The Sopranos theme just there for you.
Look, this guy is somebody who...
Take the cannolis.
This is somebody that the GOP was pinning all their hopes on for 2016 primary.
Yeah.
Well, excuse me, 2016 presidential. And, you know, the thing that I'm happy about is that he's no longer kind of in the game.
Well, a lot of people are wondering is, like, the debate now is really on the mainstream media, MSNBC. Fox is still coming out, and they just say, what's the problem, you know? But all the other networks are basically saying, is he a bully? Well,
yes.
You judge. Let's have a listen. Is Chris Christie a bully?
If what you want to do is put on a show and giggle every time I talk, well, then I have no interest in answering your question.
And let me tell you something. After you graduate from law school, you conduct yourself like that in a courtroom, your rear end's going to get thrown in jail, idiot.
You know, Tom, you must be the thinnest-skinned guy in America. Because you think that's a confrontational tone, then, you should really see me when I'm pissed.
Hey, Gail, you know what? First off, it's none of your business.
This is just another hack who wants 5 minutes on TV. And it's completely irresponsible. Completely irresponsible. If she wants to get on a plane and come here to New Jersey and ask me if she wants to examine me and review my medical history, I'll have a conversation with her about that. Until that time, she should shut up.
You know, something may go down tonight, but it ain't going to be jobs, sweetheart.
Did I say on topic? Are you stupid? On topic. Next question. Good. Thank you all very much, and I'm sorry for the idiot over there. Take care.
You're a real big shot. You're a real big shot. Shut your mouth off.
Yeah, shut up. Shut up. Yeah. And the last picture, by the way, thanks to the Young Turks for that compilation. The last picture is actually Chris Christie going after a guy. He's going after people who are just voters.
The thing of it is, it isn't like we didn't know Christie was a bully.
A dick.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, this thing about him trying to deny that he is... This is what the GOP does time after time after time. They lie, they cheat, they steal, and that's why America is in the place that it's in. My problem is that there's Democrats going along with lying and cheating and stealing way too often. In the House, we just passed a bill with like $8 billion worth of cuts for food stamps for people who can't afford to eat. What the is the matter with people in America that this is something to do right before Christmas?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but look, this guy's a bully. He's always been a bully. I've always understood that. There's some interesting things that have happened. You know, one of the guys that's been for him was a journalist named Ron Fournier,
yeah,
who's a very conservative asshole journalist who I don't respect very much because he constantly doesn't accept scientific-based evidence or poll-based evidence.
No, he's a Republican journalist. Okay. Yeah, go on.
But he works for the National Journal.
Yeah.
And he's been a long-time Christie promoter. And he said that the smartest man in politics may be Chris Christie.
Really?
You know what he says today?
What?
I take it back. Yeah. I think we have a word for that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not the smartest guy in politics. And, you know, I mean, the simple fact of the matter is that the only reason we were in love with him shortly is because he wasn't a dick to Obama during Sandy.
Well,
you know, he actually...
But the thing of it is, we saw one presentation during Sandy in which everybody said, wow, Chris Christie's not all that bad. But now that we know that he went to the mayor of Hoboken and said, you will do this special interest deal for the Rockefeller family or else...
Yeah,
you won't get any Sandy money.
Yeah, no. And there's further investigations going on now as to where that Sandy money went to.
That's kind of illegal.
That's kind of old-time politics. He's an old-time, you know, and he's like an old-time Paul.
But after doing that, after doing the George Washington Bridge thing, any claim that he's not a bully by him and his people is just not going to wash.
Well, I think it's far worse, though, isn't it? Bless you. I think it's far worse because when I see somebody who's a... got a personal weakness or peccadillo like Bill Clinton, gets a blowjob. See, I understand that. I do. I don't think
a man wanting
to get a blowjob, strangely enough. But when you look at somebody like Christie, this is about abuse of power. This is about the vindictive victimization of innocent people because you're pissed off.
Well, that's because you have the power.
That's the hubris of it, you know, well, the fact that he feels that that's it. And
the only example we really needed was the George Washington Bridge.
Oh no, it's shocking.
Okay, but
and you know what I like? I like the way he's thrown all these people to the wolves.
Well,
he's cut them off.
This is very interesting because Stephen Wildstein or whatever his name was, the one that was his right hand guy at the Port Authority type thing. He's thrown him under the bus, and the New York Times probably overreacted a little bit and ran a story that said, you know, that he's got, that Wildstein actually has proof that Christie knew.
I would at least have respect for Christie if he didn't throw him under the bus. But as soon as it gets near him, all this kind of loyalty shit, right under the bus. Well, right under the bus.
I'm sorry.
They were doing stuff that they knew. Christie knew this was going on.
Look, I don't doubt that, and I don't want to divert too far off of Christie because he is certainly one of the world's asshats, and I don't think a lot of him. But when it comes down to it, this thing of throwing people under the bus, Democratic politicians are doing that too. This thing with Christie, while we're on it, you remember how Cory Booker ran and became governor of
yes, not governor, New
but,
Jersey.
But, no, senator in New Jersey?
Senator, sorry, from New Jersey.
And Christie had it within his control, and he changed the date of the actual Senate election so that it didn't align with his date because he wanted to win in 2013 without having Cory Booker on the ticket, and not so many people turned out for the election then, and he won handily. But the point of it is he's willing to spend millions and millions and millions of taxpayer dollars to help advance his political agenda to the detriment of the people of New Jersey. And that's what the GOP has been doing. That's what a lot of our politicians have been doing across the board. And that's what's wrong. And that's why, you know, when I see this stuff, that's why I don't have respect for the Democratic leadership either. Yeah. In Washington, what we've got is this cult of celebrity where people are willing to throw people under the bus. And to me, Chris Christie's run for president is over. Right now, I believe that the
happiest person in the world has got to be Hillary Clinton right now. Right?
Well, right now, 20 points behind Hillary.
Okay. Hey, but listen, before, to get us out of this moment, because we've got a few more things. So this is going to be actually quite a long show because there's so much shit that's happened.
Well, that's what you do when you go on vacation.
Yeah, I know. I went on vacation. Listen, we'll be right back, but we're going to actually go out from this segment with actually Bruce Springsteen came by the Jimmy Fallon show while I was away.
Well, wait a minute. Bruce is like from New Jersey.
From New Jersey. And, you know, remember when Obama got them, you know, he got a hug from, you know, the boss, and Christie went all teary and said he's, first of all, I can't understand how Christie can be a Bruce Springsteen fan and not get Bruce Springsteen. Yeah. You know, I don't understand that. But the thing is that Springsteen made a rather direct snub to Christie on the Jimmy Fallon show. We're going to leave this segment with a little bit of that. We'll be back with Firing Line in just 1 minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Springsteen.
Stuck in traffic on the GWB. They shut down the toll booths of glory, 'cause we didn't endorse Christie. Sprung from cages on highway, now we got three lanes closed, so Jersey, get your ass in line. Oh, maybe this bridge gate was just payback. It's a bitch slap to the state Democrats. We gotta get out, but we can't. We're stuck in Governor Chris Christie's Fort Lee, New Jersey traffic jam. Yeah! Get in here! Yeah! I get in here! Hey! Let me in, I wanna be your friend. There'll be no partisan divisions. Let me wrap my legs round your mighty rims and relieve your stressful condition. You got Wall Street master stuck cheek to cheek with blue collar truckers, and man, I really gotta take a leak. But I can't, I'm stuck in Governor Chris Christie's Fort Lee, New Jersey traffic jam. Take a leak. I really gotta take a leak. Down in Jersey land.
Now it's time for Firing Line with the Doobies.
And welcome to Firing Line, ladies and gentlemen. And Bill.
Hey, man.
How are you?
I'm doing really well, actually.
Fantastic. That Bruce Springsteen, very funny.
It is very funny. And it was really Bruce Springsteen.
You know? It was really Bruce Springsteen. But God, Jimmy Fallon does a great Bruce Springsteen, doesn't he?
Jimmy Fallon has just proven himself to go from strength to strength to strength. I find I loved his little YouTube take with Justin Timberlake on hashtag this, hashtag that.
I know, he's funny.
He's a very funny guy.
And if he was to take Jay Leno's place, it would be like replacing unfunny with, you know.
Funny.
always good for me.
And relevant to our younger population. But let's give Fallon kudos here, okay? He had Bruce Springsteen on, but he's mimicked several different famous singers. He's done Neil Young. He's done all kinds of
different. Neil Young is fantastic.
And the thing of it is that he's a very talented individual in his own right.
He is. God.
And I have nothing but good things to say to him. And if you're telling me that he's getting ready to take over the late show, the Johnny Carson Tonight Show, I can think of nobody more suitably qualified because, you know, Conan had a go at it. And
I like Conan.
I like Conan, but it did. But it didn't bite.
No. Jay Leno, before he managed to create an audience, Jay Leno fucked him over. Let me tell you something. In the stand-up community, people fucking hate Jay Leno. Jay Leno is just the undead. He really is, because if you look at him, stand-up comic that has actually gone that extra mile to be a corporate fucking stooge, because, I mean, he used to be funny. He used to be a little edgy. Now, it's just like people in nursing homes are bored by him.
I think my mother actually likes him, and she's 75.
I rest my case. I rest my case. Look, if you're white and middle class, you know, you'll love Jay Leno because Jay Leno speaks to the inner Elks Club in all of us. Let's just talk a little bit now. We're on Fiery Line right now, and you actually have done some investigating as to what's happening with the Keystone XL pipeline, which Obama agreed that the XL pipeline would not go ahead without further investigation. That further investigation has been finished, and evidently the State Department has come to a conclusion. Isn't that right, Bill?
Well, yes, they have. And the reality is that in the report that has come out, it's an environmental impact report. the State Department has just released it, and it appears that they downplay the threat of this being a much bigger problem than it really the Keystone people are trying to make it out to be. The issue here is that there's a whole lot of oil buried in tar sands in Alberta, Canada. For one thing, I think it's stupid just based upon the fact that there's a very large percentage of the output from these that's already owned by the Koch brothers.
The Koch brothers, you remember them.
I have a small problem with that.
The evil empire.
The other side.
By the way, here's the theme. Yeah, there it is. See, I got it for you.
Look, it boils down to the fact
that looks like it's going to go ahead now.
This gives Obama cover to go forward with this. Big business wants
the State Department has released an environmental study that says, hey, it's been overrated how bad it would be, and the other impacts on the environment would be worse anyway, and we should go ahead and do it.
No. Their report did not quite say that. Their report says that it's not going to be nearly as big of an impact, but there was very specific things that were off limits for them to look at, like what's the effect if we go ahead and burn all this oil.
I know, and this
they
is
were the, prohibited.
This
from
is the dirtiest oil that you can get, by the way. This is some of the dirtiest oil that you can possibly get. And I don't know. I somebody told me once that climate change was, you know, real.
Well, you know,
I just spent some time in the polar vortex.
I would say this, you know, our GOP listeners out there will be saying to you things along the lines of, but hey, You know, the polar vortex. That's the there can't be global warming. You're cold.
What the hell are you talking about? It even sounds like an end of days science fiction movie. You know, the polar vortex. You know what I mean?
But interestingly enough, that term had been used before, and it wasn't a term just made up for this, as people said Al Roker did. Al, good job.
Al
Roker,
were
right on top of the right stuff.
I love how Roker bitch slapped all those people in Atlanta who said, he said, no one warned us about 2 inches of snow. Oh, by the way, climate change, the snowbound Atlanta, Georgia, you know, which basically, and the governor said that, no one ever warned us. And Al Roker said,
no one could have ever possibly considered that except the Weather Channel, which was based in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah,
Thank you, John Stewart. Sorry, I stole that from you so blatantly. Look, this is a very...
But, with the Keystone XL pipeline, you're looking to pump out of that tar sands in Canada some of the dirtiest shit in the world to burn.
It really boils down to this. If we build Keystone XL, it's going to be a lot easier to exploit those fossil fuel reserves, which happen to be large enough to drastically destabilize the entire climate in our world. So this is...
Yeah, I don't know why we should not do this.
It's really interesting. I've seen a good graphic on this recently. If we had 97% of the engineers tell you, look, Bill, if you drive your SUV across this bridge,
yes,
it may fall in.
Yeah. You listen to them, wouldn't you?
97% of the engineers say that. I probably wouldn't drive my SUV. But if with over 97% of the climate scientists saying that, hey, this stuff is real, we're already seeing that.
Well, we're feeling the effects right now.
But look, we can't. In all reality, from a science point of view, you cannot take any particular event and use this. But there have been event after event after event,
event after event, event after event. Event.
And this is now way past...
You like bushfires? There have been a few lately, by the way. You like droughts? Take a look at the western half of the United States.
Right now, California is rationing water. Okay.
Yes.
California is rationing water right now. And the choices that we have are really simple. The GOP's plan, let's use all the rest of the water we have to frack the hell out of our environment so we can make money over the next 2 years. Or we can leave some of this stuff in the ground, develop alternative energy sources, wind, solar, some engineer is going to come up with something in a garage that's going to be a great idea, and we're going to need to exploit that. But we need to pay attention to the fact that if we let this pipeline be built, it's going to be highly likely that they're going to pump all this down. The thing of it is, the only reason they want the pipeline is to pump it down to all the refineries that already exist in Texas and along the Gulf Coast, and they want to process all that fuel down there. But this is the dirtiest, worst way we can do this.
The Koch brothers own a slag of it.
Of the leases.
Of the leases on all the land that the pipeline's going through. Jesus Christ.
No. On the actual tar sands themselves.
Yeah, but
so the potential here is that a whole lot of money can be made by our existing energy people who... You know, they're so nice. They don't give a shit. They don't raise the price of oil arbitrarily.
Who killed the electric car?
Look,
you know, I mean,
all of this is we understand this. We've seen the documentation on it. The issue is that if we go ahead with Keystone, this will be the biggest mistake Obama would have made.
It makes no sense for someone to come across in speeches, and we will learn if Obama is actually serious about his environmental agenda based on his decision on the Keystone XL.
Well,
because you cannot be serious about standing in the way of already impending and evident climate change and still sit there and say that the XL is okay.
Well,
it's not
one of the things
doesn't bring a whole lot of jobs. That's the complete and utter myth. It doesn't. It brings huge profits to very,
to Canada people. And yeah. international oil and energy interests, not Canada, to America.
Canada is so actively, by the way, campaigning for this. It's incredible. If you get in Washington, D.C., I was literally getting off on a stop in Washington, D.C., and there were billboards on all the stations sponsored from the government of Canada talking about the oil production in Canada as being an absolute necessity for Americans. And it's amazing how the Canadians are really pushing that.
Okay, when we talk about this climate change issue, to me, that thing about the numbers is just really basic and common sense. And one of the things that's recently been a bit of a controversy in my own family is, I don't know if many of you remember Carl Sagan. He was a scientist.
Cosmos, billions and billions of lights.
He's been important in the careers of many of our engineers and scientists.
Yep.
So when we talk about STEM and technology, the science, technology, education, engineers, and mathematics people that are in our colleges, we're down on that compared to Japan, China, all these other countries. They're educating their children in STEM as much as possible, which will get them to get the good jobs because they'll be the engineers of the future. What we're doing in America is we're not doing that. We're not investing in that strong STEM education. We're letting a lot of people get degrees that aren't all that helpful. A lot of marketing and business degrees. What did Bill Hicks say about that? Oh, never mind. but it boils down.
What Sagan said is that basically we're crippling and dumbing down our entire country. And
by the soundbite of modern TV media. Oh,
yeah, but it's absolutely true. And the truth is that, you know, I mean, people still look at environmentalists as kind of tree-hugging jerks. When the truth is that you can see in front of your face right now what happens through global warming and climate change. And this is something that's an impending disaster waiting to happen. And it has already happened in where you look at the typhoons in the Philippines and you look at exactly what's happening. The strength of these hurricanes are off the chart, and all of them by any authoritative angle will tell you that climate change has a lot to do with what's happening in the world.
Bill, can I'm going to do something terrible to you here. I'm going to go off topic a little bit.
What?
Yeah. I think that one, there's an important.
Where are you going?
There's an important story.
What path are you making?
I'm coming back to the environment.
I hope
coming back to the environment.
All right, I'm going to have
Here's the interesting thing.
Okay.
I have been one of the people very, very upset with the fact that the American government has been spying on American citizens and that the NSA has been breaking all these rules.
Yes.
Over and over and over. And one of the things that's just come out due to let me see, this guy.
Snowden.
Edward Snowden, that's him.
Oh, that bastard.
That the guy that Obama.
Who strangely enough doesn't want to take a deal to come back to the United States.
Obama and the Department of Justice are begging him to come back and share the material that he stole.
That'll happen.
Okay, here's the interesting thing. I'd like to tie to this story because we're talking about the environment.
Yeah.
Now, what would you think if you found out that the United States government, when it was in Copenhagen in 2009, was getting reports from the NSA and NSA contractors on what all the other people's negotiating positions were
before the meeting?
While the meeting was ongoing and before the meeting. And that was supplied by the NSA. And so many of us say, well, whatever the NSA spies on, we've got to do that because we want to protect ourselves from the terrorists.
Which terrorists
was there? At Copenhagen, this was the world coming together to try to deal with a problem. And so the American interests seem to have been carried by the oil companies and the energy companies of the day that we didn't come to a deal at Copenhagen. And so now President Obama said we were going to try to get a deal done. But in fact, he was using private information, and we probably got just the deal that the American team went in with. I want to say that this whole thing about climate change, this has been what people like the Koch brothers have put money into PACs that have specifically discredited climate science over and over and over. And we're now to a point in America. Bill, you were just there. Mm. How many people that you talked to had some question about the climate and about climate change. Were most people on
board? I ran into people from both sides of that fence. But most of them accept that climate change is real. You know, I mean, if you're in any of those places like the
Northeast... Did you find many Republicans that were willing to accept
that? Oh, yeah, actually. Yeah. There were some Republicans that were able to accept the fact that climate change is real.
Can you give any kind of a percentage?
Here's the strange thing about it, is that they said it might be real, but then weren't prepared to do anything about it. Because, you know, I'm convinced there's a certain section of American society thinks that money will buy you some exemption from the consequences of your entire climate changing. I really do believe that a lot of rich people in America believe that climate change exists, but figure, hey, listen, man, I'm rich. I can afford a really nice building away from all that stuff. It's only going to happen in the third world. The only way, you got a bunch of Filipino kids are going to buy it and some African kids. Who gives a shit? You think I'm cynical? Well, I actually think that there are certain people that think that way right now.
Well, right now, one of the people who's been writing about this thing with the Keystone XL and about Obama, one of the statements he makes, I think, is really cogent and quite salient. And he says that basically what the real issue is with Keystone XL means that the U.S. will no longer be the leader in our environment and in protecting our environment. Whereas we've earned the reputation of doing that after the things that happened at the Love Canal and the things that have happened that a lot of our environmental people have done. They've put a lot, we have a lot of people that are down on the GOP, but there was this guy named Richard Nixon.
Who invented the EPA.
And he invented the EPA because even Republicans understood that we have to all live in the same world and we breathe the same air.
You can't make profits if you're dead. You know, I mean, it's seriously.
Well, look, that's my take on this. Oh, I think that
should we be sending letters?
Well, absolutely, we should be sending letters. Here's the deal. If this is a two-pronged process that we'll know fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. If the Keystone Pipeline decision that Obama makes is to go ahead with this, that will be a very, very bad thing, and we'll know that Obama is owned by the corporations, which is what I think is already the case. The other side of that is if Obama gets the fast-track legislation through Congress on the TPP,
right,
then it's story over. Those two things alone will allow so much deregulation of our global economy, the loss of sovereign rights of our democracy TPP, to make a choice. We've talked about this
a lot, but
it is now crunch time.
But XL pipeline and TPP are the two things that those you are think the things should that, be looking at right now.
Well, I believe and, that if those two things go forward and Obama approves the Keystone pipeline and Obama gets fast track authority with the TPP, what I think that means is it's close to a corporate takeover of our world. And the reason I say that is specifically, there was just a leaked chapter on how we conduct trade and do agreements. And the ISDS that they're talking about, which is the investor dispute system, where a cabal of the same 600 corporate lawyers who are not right now negotiating the TPP will be the judge and jury on every law that gets passed, is about that. Well, like right now, it's being used because of an old World Trade Organization part law about this, about a regulation. And what is happening in Australia is being sued in Singapore for the fact that they required all of their cigarette packaging to be plain and show pictures of people's cancers.
That
comes from smoking cigarettes. And in doing so, Philip Morris says that they've been disadvantaged and is suing the Australian government for millions of dollars.
For the money that they think that they should have made.
If the ISDS goes forward,
yeah,
that will become the law for all global trade. And it will mean that we will deregulate all environmental laws no democracy will exist anymore because corporate law will be able to override a group of people, a majority. You could have 90% of your people say, no, we will have this particular environmental law. And the corporates would be able to overrule that. I think that's the because end of sovereignty.
What they will do is they will take over, and these cases will not be seen by a court of law of the given country. These cases will be reviewed by a corporate tribunal of corporate lawyers. And that is a corruption of the sovereignty of sovereign nations. And when they start taking that power away, that's a big problem. Hey, listen, let me finish on that
really shortly. All of our Republican friends out there that are listening to the show, please, I know that you're against the TPP. You guys argued about this before any Democrats wanted this.
Yeah.
All you Democrats out there, all of you, write letters to your Congress critters and say, no TPP. We want free trade agreements that actually help free trade and the rule of law. We know what happened with NAFTA. Remember that guy that ran for president, Ross Perot?
Yeah.
Remember he talked about the sucking sound of jobs leaving the United States and going to Mexico?
Guess what?
It happened.
NAFTA.
NAFTA really screwed.
About 260,000 jobs.
The manufacturing communities within the United States, all those jobs moved to other low-wage economies. This is NAFTA on steroids. You guys have to wake up. The TPP is one of the greatest threats between the Keystone XL and the TPP. Obama is going to tell us who he is and what his legacy is. I'm hoping that Obama is the smart guy that he seems to be and will roll with the punches and let Congress actually have their oversight over the trade pacts. Mm-hmm. Which means that the people need to see what's in these. Because one of the things people...
And make sure that the TPP...
The TPP is being negotiated in secrecy. Well, not even members of Congress get to see this.
Basically, no XL pipeline and the
no TPP. That's my judgment of Obama. That will tell us a lot.
Come on, you judged him a long time
ago. I do judge him.
Okay, we'll be
back. Corporatist prick.
We'll be back. Lefty, dirty hippie. Okay, we will be back for our
final segment.
Final segment, which is, of course, our tinfoil hats of the week in our extra long edition of The Bill Show.
New rule, now that Leonardo DiCaprio has played the Wolf of Wall Street, a super rich asshole, and the Great Gatsby, a super rich asshole, and Howard Hughes, a super rich asshole, he has to tell us, where do you get your ideas? And when do you start work on Bieber? And finally, new rule, conservatives must be told that President Obama saying he wouldn't let any son of his play pro football is not controversial. It's common sense, like telling your kids not to play in traffic. But on the right, any critique of our holy religion football is blasphemy because real men don't point out facts or consider consequences, and brain injuries are fun. That's what makes a Terry Bradshaw such a character. And a Sarah Palin interview so entertaining. Now, last Sunday, apparently there were some contests among the footballers, which I caught out of the corner of my eye while I was baking for my Downton Abbey party. And the brutality of the games prompted the president to draw attention to football's violent culture. And then came the backlash. The National Review said, if the president thinks the NFL is too dangerous for his fictitious son, what about the military? Right, because defending your country and kickoff returns are the same thing. I don't know where Republicans get this weird delusion that they're the party of manliness, but this is Rush Limbaugh's bedroom. Talent on loan from God. Furniture on loan from Liberace. And yet somehow conservatives, who boast by far the bigger list of non-serving chicken hawks, see themselves as the tough guys. But it's rarely a real manliness. It's more the pathetic bluster of a blogger in his bathrobe demanding that Obama man up and bomb Iran while his mother fixes his macaroni and cheese. None of this is going to get better until Democrats stop letting Republicans claim they've got the big balls just because. For one, I never quite got how my life would be better with increased ball size. If you need to stick your balls in to get things going, you're doing it wrong.
You need a lesson.
And two, Democrats have to start being the party that redefines toughness as restraint. And stop responding to Republican taunts that have goaded Michael Dukakis into a tank, John Kerry into a duck hunting outfit, and Hillary Clinton into Iraq. Because it's not really masculinity conservatives love anyway. It's bullying. Somehow we've gone from Teddy Roosevelt speak softly and carry a big stick to Chris Christie's speak loudly and be a big dick.
And the sound of that music, ladies and gentlemen, that's right. That's the theme that we have at the end of every broadcast when we talk about the news and commentary I listen to simply because I hate my own head. It's our tinfoil hat award. Ladies, do you want me? I'll go first because I got a beautiful one.
No, I want to go first because
you want to go first.
Look, okay, I just man, I think first. We I think we've got.
All right, have you got a tinfoil hat for me?
I think
am I going to hate this guy?
Well, okay, it could have been a woman. Okay,
yeah, okay.
You quit being, you know, biased here.
Yeah, okay,
but it happens to be a man.
Okay,
okay. Now, all right. This guy.
Who are you talking about?
Well, this guy happens to be a. Not a Wall Street guy, but a Silicon Valley venture capitalist.
Okay. What's his name?
His name is Tom Perkins.
What did Tom say in the media this week that merits a tinfoil hat? You really have to achieve in this thing. You know, we just don't give the tinfoil hat to anyone.
Okay, first of all. Tom actually wrote a piece that was then published in the Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
In which he basically was whining about the fact that the 1% and the rich are being discussed in the media in a way that it's comparable to the way that the Jews were treated in Germany.
You have got to be kidding me.
Well, no, I'm
you
not
have got
kidding.
To be kidding me. He's comparing the 1% in America to the Jews in Germany.
He is, and the thing with it is, it's a little bit worse than that because
how can you be a victim?
Then the Wall Street Journal editorial board came out defending him when. Interestingly enough, Twitter went nuts. Social media across the board went nuts. People started talking about this because he used a particular term. I think that really what the problem is that we have a lot of people that are billionaires right now that are noticing that we're criticizing the fuck out of the 1% for stacking all the game, rigging the game to where they are the only winners. And they're now upset that we're calling them
How
out on that.
How dare you? How dare you oppress me while I'm fucking you in the ass?
But
how dare you?
But they're saying that they're being persecuted.
Oh, my God.
And the word that he used was... Kristallnacht. That's the right way to say it.
Kristallnacht was the German word for the specific day in Germany which
state-sanctioned
violence against synagogues in 1936.
Whatever, yeah, the Reign of Terror.
During Nazi Germany. He's comparing what is happening to Jamie Dimon, who still has...
Excuse me? Jamie Dimon? There's no D there.
Oh, whatever. But I mean, these guys, no one has been arrested.
Excuse me. I apologize. I'm ranting. I was wrong.
Yeah.
There was a D in Jamie Dimon. He is a dick.
He's a dick.
I'm sorry. I retract it.
Yeah, No. It takes a certain amount of balls. You know what you can say about the rich? Is they got a fucking set a mile wide. They can sit there and fuck you so many ways this Sunday sit there and go, how dare you notice?
Wait a minute.
How dare you notice that we're fucking you?
And wait, there's more.
Please.
Okay. This guy.
Yeah.
This guy actually has a $150 million yacht.
Now, you know, the last Jew that I saw that was... you know, victimized in an anti-Semitic, pogrom. He had a $100 million yacht, too.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. Yeah. Filthy rich. Yeah.
The thing of it is, there's more. Jesus.
There's more?
This guy was over in, he was traveling around the world with his boat. And by the way, most of us wouldn't actually call the boats that this guy has. They're ships.
They're ships, yeah.
But the thing of it is that he was in his yacht in another country, and he ran into another ship and killed somebody.
No, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God.
And he actually...
ran into somebody and killed them? A commoner? Ran into the one of the serfs.
He was off the French coast. He collided with a smaller boat. He killed a French doctor on a board.
Jesus Christ.
And his statement about this in this article was, I was arrested and tried in a foreign court in a language you don't understand by judges indifferent or worse to justice, represented by an inappropriate lawyer with the negative outcome preordained. Now, Perkins has done well to get his version out, but the problem is, this guy's married to, by the way, Danielle Steele.
Not the author. Yes, Danielle Steele. Oh, my God.
And Danielle Steele's actually planning a novel based on this particular episode. But the he's the head of Kleiner Perkins, the big venture capital firm in Silicon Valley.
Oh, my God.
And he's, he doesn't have...
So he's feeling victimhood now.
Well, he felt victimhood enough that Kleiner Perkins...
Why isn't he in jail for running down this poor doctor in France? Wait.
No, he's upset because they fined him $10,000. Okay? Now... his latest sailing boat is actually...
which is a tip for him.
So you know, that this is the persecution that these people are talking about.
That's hilarious.
You killed somebody, and you are upset because you had to pay a $10,000 fine. The guy was a doctor, you dickhead. He fucking helped people save people's lives. What the fuck is the matter with you, rich fucking asshole? I'm sorry. This guy is my...
ass hat.
Tinfoil hat.
Okay.
This is the guy.
This is the tinfoil hat.
Now, if you think you can top that...
I might.
No. I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay, did you know...
prove
that,
it.
Yeah, okay, well, here I go. Okay, so did you know that Oxfam came out with figures the other day that said that the 85 richest people in America... okay. 85 richest people in America control more than half.
I've heard about this
of
story.
The wealth
of the entire world.
Of the entire world. I'm sorry, 85 of the richest people in the world, excuse me, not in America, just
well,
the world,
you know,
control more than half of this.
Okay,
now,
stop for a minute.
Wait a minute. Shut up. I'll allow you to talk as soon as I finish presenting this one. Okay, here we go. Is it 85 larger, okay? Now, one of the guys that reacted to this was a guy named Kevin O'Leary, and he is a broadcaster of some repute.
Okay, wait yes. a second. I just want to stick on this point.
Yes.
So you said that the richest 85 people in the world have like the dollars equal to one half
more than
what
half
the world is worth.
The world's worth.
So the lowest people in the world's 85. Entire wealth.
We could put them in one conference center room.
In a small one.
Yeah, a very small one.
Okay.
Well appointed.
So in saying that, you know, the guy that I was just talking about, Mr. Perkins.
Yes.
Alex Perrine, in an article about him, actually said that Obama should have, in his State of the Union address, he should have said, okay, and Mr. Perkins, I heard your story. We're going to confiscate all your money, because that's all he heard anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
You
absolutely.
Know, so all these right, are the kind of guys. Okay, so that's who you have to beat.
But I'd like to, I have to beat this guy, but I think I got it. Kevin O'Leary is, well, listen, he is a commentator on what is called the Dragon's Den.
Is he rich?
Now, the Dragon's Den is a kind of like, oh, I don't know. It's kind of like a CNBC, you know? One of these cable outlets that deal with high-flyer guys that really love success. And Kevin O'Leary is one of the talking heads over at CBC in Canada. And this is the biography of Kevin O'Leary on the CBC website. Here it is. He is opinionated. He's ruthless. He hungers for big deals and loves to take control. Yet he made his millions helping children learn how to read. Kevin's success story starts where most entrepreneurs begin. With a big idea and zero cash from his basement, he launched SoftKey software products. As sales took off, Kevin moved to his headquarters in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and went on to an industry-consolidating acquisition binge. From 1995 to 1999, he bought almost every one of his software competitors, including Mindscape, Broaderband, and The Learning Company.
Broaderband?
In the industry's first vicious public hostile takeover. Shareholders love to take no prisoners, cost-cutting his shareholders. And his love to take no printers, cost-cutting styles fueled him with billions of new deals. In 1999, Kevin, what a cocksucker, sold his company to Mattel Toy Company for a staggering $3.7 billion, one of the largest deals ever done in the consumer software industry. To keep his money working hard, Kevin took control of his wealth from his lackluster money managers and founded his own mutual fund company, O'Leary Funds. He raised hundreds of millions of dollars for investors who share his get paid while you wait yield-oriented value investing philosophy. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you. When confronted with the fact that 85 people control a majority of wealth in the world today, let me introduce you to the fine common sense of Mr. Kevin O'Leary.
Wealth, this is according to Oxfam, of the world's 85 richest people is equal to the 3.5 billion poorest people.
It's fantastic. And this is a great thing because it inspires everybody, gets the motivation to look up to the 1% and say, I want to become one of those people. I'm going to fight hard to get up to the top. This is fantastic news, and of course I applaud it. What can be wrong with this?
Really?
Yes, really.
So somebody living on
I celebrate
a
capitalism.
Dollar a day in Africa is getting up in the morning and saying, I'm going to be Bill Gates.
That's the motivation
only
everybody
thing between
needs.
Me and
I'm
that
not
guy
against
is
charity.
Motivation. I just need to pull up my socks.
I am
oh,
not,
wait, I don't have socks.
Look, don't tell me that you want to redistribute wealth again. That's never going to happen.
All,
okay?
You know what? You take a simple stat like this, which is neither good nor bad. It's just a fact.
It's a celebratory stat. I'm very excited about it. I'm wonderful to see it happen. I tell kids every day, if you...
I'm just going to...
What's wrong with this?
It comes up at a cocktail party.
No, Amanda, what's wrong with this statement?
One possible response to it...
If you work hard, you might be stinking rich.
We're talking about people in extreme abject poverty. That's how you get 3.5
billion. No, we're not. You were just talking about really rich people.
No. Okay. I'm going to tell you later what you should say to this. Coming up after the break, a look at China's...
Yeah, I don't want to have to tell you how much of a douchebag you sound like.
Okay.
Oh, man. Kevin O'Leary. Can you give it up to me that Kevin O'Leary is pretty much of a douche?
Look, I think he's a douche, but he still hasn't beat Perkins here, okay? Perkins, let me find out how much Perkins is worth. Oh, wow, this is some good stuff.
Haven't you looked that up
Jesus
yet? Don't go away.
No, do not.
Do not get distracted. Kevin O'Leary, Perkins, who do you think?
Okay.
Is it, you know what I'm saying? You know what I think? I think that if you want to cast your vote... We will have a vote. Who do you think is the asshat this week for our first yearly show of 2014. Would you please write us? That's right. The Bill Show on XBR@gmail.com and tell us who do you think should be our asshat, Mr. Perkins.
No. We're not going to play that game. Okay?
Why not?
Well, because...
Because the people
just,
love
let
it.
Let me just get some more facts here before we go on. But don't you have somebody else that you want to consider?
That's it. That's the show, dude. I got nothing else. How can I top a man who's very, very proud that the top 85 people in the world own more stuff than half the world, you know? And somebody would actually sit there and say, hey, you know what? This gives those people living in dirt huts in fucking Africa the kick in the ass that they need. Because you know something? Struggling for, I don't know, water and your parents not to suffer from AIDS really shouldn't distract you from pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps and making something of yourself, damn it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Perkins.
Yeah.
You know.
He killed a guy.
Talking about these people being persecuted.
Yeah. All right.
Is a problem. But let's find out what Perkins is worth versus what O'Leary's worth. Because frankly, I find it sinful that a guy in the software industry that didn't really have shit,
yeah,
came from nowhere, ended up using private equity money to buy out all of his competitors,
yeah,
and then sell out for $3.7 billion. He is a dickhead. I'm going to give you that. Okay?
Listen, why don't we go with they're both dickheads, and on the next show we'll come back with their true straight values, because we're going on an hour and a half. And after an hour and a half, people tend to nod off. And if you're on a jogging machine, if you've been running for an hour and a half, God love you. Listen, look, we gotta close up.
That's fine. That's fine.
We gotta close up because we've done a lot. Because I believe Perkins
is the guy.
I know you think, but I think that he did kill a guy.
Yeah,
Perkins killed a guy.
I think we need to give it to him.
Kevin O'Leary. Okay, fine. He's the dick.
Okay, Kevin O'Leary is a rich dick.
Yeah.
Okay, but he hasn't gone and killed people and then complained about, you charged me $10,000. That's injustice.
To kill a guy. Yeah, okay, fine. Okay, I'll give it to you. Hey, listen, did you know that we've been actually having a little bit of a problem recently with our Podbean address, www.expatprogressive.podbean.com. Could you please send an email to Podbean and say, hey, listen, we like the Bill Show, and we can't play it off the site because, by the way, we're trying to reach Podbean. And we've complained a few times. Look,
this is sour grapes. Folks, we'll get our Podbean stuff figured out. But
it's not us.
Do beat them up. Because it's not us.
It's Podbean. But you know, we're also available on Stitcher Radio, and you can get our feed, which most people do, from iTunes.
Look, let's be real here. Podbean has been very, very good to us.
Podbean's been fantastic, Podbean. Please
help Podbean. Please.
We have done 80.
I hope. NSA, will you please let Podbean know?
Leave the NSA alone. We have done 87 shows, Bill.
87?
That's a lot, isn't it?
You mean we've been drinking bourbon and talking shit about politics for 87 times.
Shows. That's right. God bless us all. Hey, listen, what do you want to go out on? Let's go on a little rock and roll.
Do you have that guy Bruce somebody?
I got some Bruce right now. And here he is, Bruce Springsteen, playing us out. We'll see you next time on The Bill Show. Bye.
Bye.